Oh, what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord again. What a thrill and blessing. Last night we attempted to notice the now of yesterday's blessings in Christ. That is, we enjoy today the blessings that were procured at the cross. Just as we enjoy the blessings of freedom because of those who have given their lives over the past centuries, really in some ways, but especially in our country over the past perhaps decades or scores of years. I want to notice with you this morning our need of yesterday's blessings in Christ. We have yesterday's blessings in Christ. We have them now. But so often we don't recognize our need of the blessings of Christ that were procured on the cross. The children of Israel in days gone by often went back to the times of their deliverance from Egypt. And as they looked back at those blessings and brought them into the present in their lives, it was past blessings that were brought into their present that gave them strength to go on, but their awareness of the need of those blessings was often because of all the difficulty and problems that they were facing. And as much as you don't like troubles, I'm sorry to tell you, they're really good for you. As much as we perhaps avoid them ardently, they actually bring us to our knees and cause us to appreciate that which we actually need. For instance, in Psalm 103, he turns back and says, "The Lord satisfies our mouth with all good things," verse 5, "and our youth is renewed like the eagle's. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of men." You see, he hearkens back. The strength to mount up as eagles is built upon the blessings that had been before. And that's a theme throughout the Word of God. Back in Psalm 78, he says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline ears to the words of my mouth, and I will open my mouth in a dark parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." The strengthening of the children, the strengthening of the present generation is based upon what was done in former days. But again, they were facing a need, and therefore it revived their hearkening back to what had done. So again, last night we attempted to notice the now of yesterday's blessings in Christ. We're going to attempt to notice this morning the need of yesterday's blessings in Christ. Our need of yesterday's blessings in Christ. You may recall, just for another example, in the book of Judges when Gideon, Israel was in great difficulty and Gideon had to thresh out the grain in private, really, for fear of what was going to happen. And then the Lord came and said, "You know, go, mighty man." And he said, "Who in the world are you talking to, man?" And perhaps you feel that way. You know you're supposed to get up and get going and serve God and do great things and conquer the world and hold up Jesus' banner and, you know, just win the war for Christ. And you're all hunkered down, scared to death, hardly can get up in the morning for what's coming on the earth, and really. And so what did the Lord tell Gideon? Well, Gideon said, verse 13, Judges 6, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles," or his miracles, "which our fathers told us of, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Here is the need of yesterday's blessing. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel." What was he saying? He said, as you hearken back to the God that delivered so many times in the old, and you rest and trust and had confidence in him today, then you'll have the same blessing they had then. The need today of yesterday's blessing in Christ. And every one of you here, whether you admit it or not, have thought, maybe not verbalized it, but you've thought, where is God? You have thought, does he still work the same? You have pondered and considered and really felt like he's forsaken you in one way or the other. And so we need yesterday's blessing. Now, to bring out that thought, I want to turn to the book of Romans chapter 7. And this is a lengthy reading. And anybody that tells preachers how to preach would say they shouldn't read this much. So I'm breaking all rules, and you're going to have to try to stay together with me. We're talking about the need of yesterday's blessings in Christ. The need today, your need today, whether you realize it or not, I don't care what you're going through. You heard me correctly. I do not care. In other words, it doesn't matter. I care from the sense that my heart's broken, that all of us go through troubles. But what I'm saying is, it is not that which is different than any other need. Your need is no different than anybody else's need. Every need, whether you're 5 or 95, whether you're male or female, whether you're black or white, you know, red, whatever, whatever need you're going through, relationally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, whatever need you have, our need is yesterday's blessings in Christ brought to us today. Now, Paul in Romans 7 identifies three areas where we get everything mixed up and turn to falsehoods to attempt to fill our needs. And we're prone to do that. Israel did it over and over again. You turn to something else to try to find deliverance. You know, if I don't preach well, I think, well, I'll buy a new suit. You know how much that helps. But all of you do the same thing in some other way, you know. And our need is yesterday's blessings in Christ for today. The need of yesterday's blessings in Christ. And in this Romans chapter 7, he identifies our turning to the law, our turning to good works, and our turning to self-dependence or our own will. Our own determination, our own, you know, by golly, we can get it done. The things we turn to, identified in Romans 7, instead of looking back and having our needs filled from yesterday's blessings in Christ, and depending on it today, the things we turn to are our, is the law, our good works, and our own will. Now, if you'll watch when I read this chapter, it's a long chapter. You're going to have to pay attention today. You're going to have to put on your thinking cap. You're going to have to sit up straight and listen with me. But listen as I read this chapter how the thought of the law, the thought of our good works, and the thought of our turning to our own will often comes to the top. And we're depending upon those things to get us through instead of hearkening back to Christ. Okay, you ready? Let's read. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man so long as he liveth? For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, but the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You're trying to bring forth fruit unto God? Well, here he says, you're going to be loose from the law and be in Christ. Yesterday's blessings today, instead of looking to the law. For when we were in the flesh, verse 5, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth food unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, certainly not. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all matter of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, he's beginning to talk about our good works now, the things we thought we'd do that would deliver us. So we've been trying to do the law, and then we think we're keeping the law, and we think we're actually going to get life by keeping that law. We say if we do these things, we'll have what we need today to get on with life. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And he says, we're not supposed to be looking at the law, and we're not supposed to be looking at the fact that by looking at the law, we begin to feel good about ourselves. Every one of you are doing it. Every one of us are. If you're not looking at the Ten Commandments and feeling good about yourself, you're looking at your own laws and keeping good about yourself. You know, like preachers wear suits on Sunday. You know, that's a law, right? I mean, I feel good about that law, and I keep that law, and I feel better about myself than those that don't keep that law. But eventually that law breaks down, because you can wear a suit worth $1,000 and not preach worth a lick. And every one of you are the very same way. You have your law, you keep your law, but eventually your law breaks down and you're not as good as you thought you were, and you're left out to sea without a paddle, and you're in trouble. We need today yesterday's blessings in Christ. So we read on. We know the law is spiritual, verse 14, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. That which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Sound familiar to anybody? Here's the problem of the will. If then I do that which I would not, you hear will, determination, confidence? For if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Anybody getting confused? Anybody feel like, Brother Sonny Piles, you say you're a termite and a yo-yo? Well, I'm right there. You know, I have so many needs right now, right? I have so many needs right now. I mean, how under heaven's blazing sun am I going to get through life? Especially it's so hard. I've done that. How in the world are we going to get through? Teenagers, how are you going to get through? Newly marrieds, how are you going to get through? Those of you starting to raise kids, how are you going to get through? Those of us, your kids are getting teenagers, how are you going to get through? How do you get on when you're in your 60s? I know, I only look 45. But how are you going to get on when you begin to get to the... How are you going to get on? How are you going to get through? Well, I'm going to keep the law. You know, I'll be a good person. You know, That's what we do. We turn to the law, and then we begin to trust in how good we're being. And if that's not quite working, we pour on more steam, and I will do it. And I'm telling this morning, the scriptures say, you're up a creek without a paddle. You're coming to a dead end. You're going to hit your head against the wall. You're going to crash and burn. You will not make it. You need yesterday's blessings in Christ. You need. That's your and my need. We need yesterday's blessings in Christ.
Amen.
Today. Well, he goes on. For good that I would, I do not. The evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find a law then, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law after the inward man, don't we all? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. I think you can now get ready to say, well, I do understand one verse in this chapter. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He comes to the conclusion, I've got a heap of troubles. But with my mind, we're talking about a renewed mind, one that understands the gospel, I am going to dwell on what Christ has done. My need of yesterday's blessings in Christ. And it is a very great need. So first of all, let's notice our turning to the law. Now, immediately when I say this, y'all probably think of the Ten Commandments. And that's good. You know, the law was given us. It's given us as a standard. But you're living by law, if this first time you've ever been in a church building, you're living by law, whether you even know what the Ten Commandments are. That is, you're setting standards, you're trying to reach those standards. You know, everybody has a law. And when we set it up, just like I said, wearing a suit or whatever it is, you know, I'll only spend so much for an automobile, you know. Whatever it is, we're all living according to law. You could look at it this way. There's the big L, law. That's the Ten Commandments. But then there's the little L, law. And that's all our personal laws. And we all have them. Republicans have their little laws. Democrats have their little laws. We all have our laws. And then we judge everybody else by our own laws. To make ourselves feel justified. Make ourselves feel good. Make ourselves feel like we're worth something in the world. Make ourselves feel like we're actually going to save the world or save ourselves. We're all living according to law. But listen to what the Bible says about living according to the law. When we think of keeping the law, here's the bombshell. Attempting to keep the law or fulfill the law. Are you listening? Listen real close. Attempts to keep the law. It's a bombshell. It's going to hit you between the eyes. It's going to crash your little parade. It's going to ruin what you've been doing. It'll actually make you so bad off, you'll probably have to go to Christ. Attempts at fulfilling the law does not advance the cause of righteousness. It makes matters worse. Yet that's where we go all the time. He said, well, Brother Dickey, prove that. Well, I just read one whole chapter, but let's read some other places. Romans chapter 3. We know that whatsoever things the law saith, verse 19, it saith to them who are under the law. Now, whatever the law says, it says to them that are under the law, we're all under the law, one way or the other, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Your law-keeping and my law-keeping, God working in our lives, is going to bring you to the place you will zip it. Yeah, you're going to zip it. There's not a person on the sound of my voice this morning that's even keeping your own laws. You're not. There's not a person on the planet made New Year's resolutions every year. He said, well, I've been keeping my resolution, and I'm keeping it till right now. Well, goody two-shoes for you. You're not going to do it every year. You're not going to do it every day. You're not going to do it in every way. You're not perfect. And if God will open your eyes and my eyes, we'll see our attempts to do it actually bring us to the place to face us. We can't do it. Romans 4:15, the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. The law was designed to work wrath. Setting the speed limit at 75 shows me I never keep the speed limit. Right? I mean, you could set it at 55 and it'll show you never keep the speed limit. You can try your level best to keep it perfectly. Sometimes or one time or another, you're going to go a tenth over, okay? You say, no, I never do that. I set it 1 mile an hour under. Well, then never go down a hill because, you know, sometimes that go just a little. You know, that car just doesn't have it quite right. It's that way in every one of our lives. Romans 7 and 8, we just read it. Sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it's written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of law to do it. Now that means if we're keeping part of the law, if I gave us the wiggle room to say there are areas that you actually do well, there are areas you're not doing so well. He said, well, I'm kind. I never lash out. Yeah, right. But sometimes you're so quiet when you ought to speak up. You kind of get the point? You cannot fulfill the law. James 2, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. He that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Friends, we do not measure up. You are not perfect. You will not make it through this world setting up standards and keeping them to the degree you're going to set your soul free. To the degree you can feel so good about yourself that life will be worth the living. We should do right. We must do right. There are consequences to not doing right. But we're talking about in our conscience and in our heart, in our self-assessment of who we are, our sense of confidence, our blessing to think I'm okay in the world. In our psyche, in your emotions, in the sense that you're living in God's world, there's going to be this weight, this awareness, this realization, I'm not what I ought to be. And so we need to forfeit the continual treadmill of attempting to become perfect, to feel good about ourselves. It will not work. You say, well, for crying out loud, what in the world's a person to do? I hope you're asking. We live today on yesterday's blessings in Christ. We need today. We need the law, yeah, to bring us to the realization of who we are. But when you begin to break down by looking at the law, then realize you need the awareness, the depression today, the discouragement today, the fear today, the sense of I don't measure up today, the sense of what's wrong today is the fact we're trying 1,000 ways to fill our need in some other way, and it's the need of yesterday's blessings in Christ applied today. That's exactly what we need. And the blessing is Christ has fulfilled the law in our place. And let me just say this. The law is always broader and deeper in its requirement than we can possibly imagine. We always kid ourselves. Think, for instance, the Savior on the Mount. You see, we often differentiate between thought and action. And it's true. If I think of killing you, you know, I've killed church members on the way to church. I'm sorry, you that are here from Oak Hill. You've probably killed your pastor on the way to church. There is a difference, you know, in the level on which we live between thinking and doing. And the law holds a great difference, right, Brother Don? You can think about killing someone, but believe you me, if you do it, it's a heap of trouble. It's a whole lot different than just thinking it. But that differentiation is not with God. So when you think of keeping the law, just remember, thought, action, differentiation, that just doesn't reckon with God. That's not the way he thinks. The Savior said, you know, well, let's just turn to it, to Matthew 5. You that have heard, you know, it said, thou shalt not kill. Chapter 5, 21, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. I mean, can we get honest this morning? Has anybody never been angry at anybody at any time under any circumstances? And you're trying to feel good about yourself? I don't murder. I don't commit adultery. Makes a heap of difference horizontally among men before the law. This ought to make us pause when we think about, you know, heterosexuals getting mad at homosexuals. We're all sinners, okay? I'm not saying homosexuality is right. I'm saying you're a sinner too. And don't go to feeling real good about yourselves because you're straight. Because you're all wrong even though you're straight. Sorry about that. And so am I. In the eyes of God, we cannot keep the law and make ourselves feel good, okay? You cannot do it. Your need today is yesterday's blessing in Christ. You don't need to feel good about yourselves, and I don't need to feel good about myself being a white, male, middle-class Christian who votes right and does everything super, and therefore I'm a great person. That is blindness. In the sight of God, I'm in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so are you, and so is everyone else. Everyone of an alternate lifestyle needs him as well. And this is what he's saying to us. And so we come to the fact that the Savior fulfilled the law for us. Amen, hallelujah, shout and clap your hands and say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Because my only way to stand, my only way to feel a sense of I'm okay, my only way to get through, my only way to possibly get up of a morning and think I would deserve a blessing from God is the fact that he's going to bless me through the Lord Jesus Christ and no other way. Today's need of yesterday. Blessing in Christ. Matthew 5. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. We're not talking about a pushover God. We're not talking about a God that doesn't have standards. God's standards are far more holy than we ever imagined. God's requirements, perfection, are so far above us, we cannot even, you know, we don't even scratch the surface. And we get to think, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, I'm just such a wonderful person. You're a wretch. And so am I. Every last one of us. Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law. It's as high and heavy and holy and binding as it's ever been. And your and my only hope is through his work on the cross. Think not I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Somebody says, oh, Christ was easy on sin. You better think again. Why do you think he went to the cross? Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. My brethren, ye have become dead to the law, but the body of Christ. Dead to the law to think we're going to fulfill it to the sense we're going to find some sense of righteousness to obligate God to give us a great and clear and, you know, satisfied conscience. It's not going to happen. Galatians 4, we quoted it last night. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. You're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling afraid, my feeling down, my feeling depressed, my feeling afraid is because I'm under the curse, I'm under the fear, I'm under the awareness, nothing's right, nothing's fitting together, everything's fallen apart, nothing's like it's supposed to be. That's right, we live in a fallen world and it will be fallen until Christ comes again. When Paul was preaching, writing much of what I'm writing to you today, Nero was in charge. Friends, Nero. I mean, the streets were being lit with people who've been rolled in pitch and set afire so they could have a big party with Christians burning. I know we're in a bad world, but friends, Paul was in a worse world. And he was turning not to how good he was turning to how good Christ was. And he was going to live for Christ because of what Christ had done for him. He knew he wasn't perfect, but he knew Christ was perfect. And your need today is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and find your sense of well-being and okayness because of who you are in him, not because of who you are. Or who I am. The problem of good works. Same thing. The problem of good works. We're to be a people of good works, sure as the world. We're commanded that we ought to keep the law. The law will not justify us in our mind, it's Christ. But what happens when we begin to attempt to do what God asks us to do? We begin to live daily more upon our assessment of the level of our good works than what Christ has done for us. It's really just the outgrowth of the law. We can be trying to keep the law, say we're keeping the law, but what it is when we say we're keeping the law is we're depending on our good works again. And the point here is that, again, we're not actually keeping the law. It does not matter. You say, Brother Dickey, you are really bearing down. Well, you need it. You know, the tumor needs taken out, friends. Just take the commandment, thou shalt not steal. I don't thief. I've never robbed a bank. Well, whoop-de-doo. You know? Again, there are horizontal consequences. You say, you never accidentally walked out of a store with a pencil? You know? I actually am a thief. I've just absolutely stolen. I don't know how old I was, 7 or 8, 9 years old. I mean, I couldn't fit this one on the best because I was a shoplifter at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I got my backside warmed as soon as my friend's mother found out. We both had to march in and give the goods back. That broke that. It didn't break my heart. You say, what in the world are you talking about, Brother Dickey? I'm talking about you need to give over your good works. I'm talking about you need to hang them up and forget it. You need to absolutely cast them out. I'm probably going to get in trouble. But the best person, the Bible says, every man in his best state, I'm quoting scripture. This is God's word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So you just take it to God. I'm just quoting the Word of God. Every man in his best state is altogether vanity. That's right. And all your and my righteousnesses, all of them, all of them, are filthy rags. Paul said, the law condemns me. And he said, the good I'm doing, it's not good. That's what Romans 7 is. When you monopolize a conversation, do you know what you're doing? You're stealing someone else's time to maybe express the depths of their heart that they so desperately need to do. But you think you've got so much to say, and what you have to say is so much more important than what anybody else has to say, that you just talk all the time. Cool it. You're not God's gift to the planet. When we gossip, do you know what you're doing? You're stealing someone else's reputation. You're a thief. Your good works are not robbing a bank. Among men, that's fine. Don't carry it to God and feel really, really, really hep on yourself. So it doesn't work that way. When we antagonize someone, siblings take notice. I mean, that is the pastime of children, right? I mean, we love to antagonize each other. You're stealing your sibling's calmness and tranquility. Oh, when we exclude from someone from our clique. Now, that's a little older kids, you know. We're kind of like, you know, adolescent, you know. We're kind of like, you know, we're getting power now, you know. We're in middle school, maybe we're in high school, you know. Well, they don't fit in, you know. When you exclude someone from your clique, you're stealing their desperate need for fellowship. You are. Primitive Baptists are good on this too. You know, we're all the time excluding people from our fellowship. When you will not forgive, you know how we are. Well, were they really repentant? Well, good night of living. They wanted back in the church. You know, what's it take? They have to be like Christ? Or can they just say, I wish I would have never done it? You know? When we won't forgive, we steal someone's desperate need to be restored to the blessings of Christ. We are thieves. Your good works do not make the grade. Well, what's the point of all of that? The point of it is he was good for us. He was perfect. Your need today is the blessing of yesterday's work of Christ. Those that were around him that were enemies said, surely this was the Son of God. Pilate would say, I find no fault with him. The disciples would say, he had no sin, he did no sin, he knew no sin. He that was perfect and holy and harmless and separate from sinners gave himself for us. We just read where he said he would fulfill the law. Oh, God be glorified. May God be praised. May we rest in this. May we center around it. May we wake up thinking about it. May you call upon it every day throughout the day. May we quit being prejudicial. May we quit looking down on each other. May we quit thinking we're so good by what we do. May we quit thinking that we'll be the perfect Christians that somehow are going to save America because we're so wonderful. May we actually trust in God that the only way we're ever going to receive blessing is if he blesses sinners. Because that's all we are, is through the work of Christ, he has made us good through him. He doesn't make us good through our own works. I know among men we measure it otherwise, but I'm talking about how we begin to live in our psyche. And what's in our heart is the way we live. And the way we don't reach out to people that are out there, we all the time saying, reach out, we got to evangelize, we got to witness, we got to do all this stuff. And the reason we don't and the reason we can't is because we want them to be perfect already. We want them to already be good. We want them to already be right up here to standard and be as good as we are. Then we'll try to somehow give them our little tweak on grace. But friends, it's not that. We are wretched sinners. They're actually wretched sinners. The only hope any of us have is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves sinners that aren't in deserving of grace. I mean, hallelujah. Anybody you meet anywhere in any sin, you can say to them, you're a sinner. What you're doing is not right. I'm a sinner, and I do 1,000 things that aren't right every day. And we're all in desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit trying to live the way you're trying to do and justify yourself. Maybe it's law-breaking. And then say, may I quit trying to do what I try to do, law-keeping, and feel great about myself. May we just all admit, thank God for Jesus. The need today of yesterday's blessing in Christ. And when he was gone forth into the way, Mark 10, there came running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. Isn't he beautiful, my friends? Isn't it glorious? There was actually a person upon this planet who never thought evil of someone. You know, I mean, he knew how we were. I'm saying thought evil in the sense of being prejudicial, looking down on them, wanting to do harm to them. You know, just to get even for himself. He sensed the need of the woman at the well. Sensed the need of the woman that came into Simon's house. Are you not attracted? Can you lay your righteousness down, your good works, long enough to see that your need of the Lord Jesus Christ is equal to everybody else's need? Can we rest enough this morning to know that what the world needs now is Christ? Today's need. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin. Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted without sin. Such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Well, our trying to keep the law, which brings about our attempts at feeling good about ourselves because of our good works. And then there's this little problem of our will. I'm telling you, get ready. Your knees are going to be cut out from under you. You don't even have the will to do right. And if you have the will, you don't have the ability to fulfill your will. You are a goner. Yeah, our need. Just think about it for a little bit. Just as far as our state, we're depraved, right? By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all sin, for that all, you know, all of sin. We are depraved. That is, every aspect of our being has been affected by the fall of Adam. We have inherited a nature that is no longer like the way we were created in the garden. And that nature is so altered that our will, our desire, our ability to even follow in the Lord is forever cut out from under us. Is there such a thing as dead, deader, and deadest? We seem to think so. I'm not as dead as the debtor person over there. I'm able to do better than that debtor person. And then there's some we name that are absolutely deadest. We're all dead. We're dead in sin. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Colossians 2:13, he says exactly the same thing. I'll turn and read it. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So what's the point here? The point is, I mean, this is so wonderful. Could you, we just roll up the carpet of good works and begin to dance in grace? I mean, I'd really like to do that, friends. I'd just like to roll up the carpet, start dancing to Amazing Grace that saved a wretch like me. Because if he had not first loved us, we would have never loved him. You see, we can't boast in who we are because we were dead in sins and then he quickened us into life. And if you have an interest in the things of the Lord this morning, if you just have a little inclination that maybe things aren't quite right with you, and you may not even know for sure that there is a God, you're just kind of wondering something's gone wrong and can't quite figure the world out, may I encourage you that grace has probably already kissed you, and you're beginning to realize there has to be life outside myself. There has to be something somewhere that does something for me because I'm not able to do it for myself. I can't keep the law, whatever that law is. I can't be as good as I need to be. And there is this realization that I can't even get up and get going. But friends, the fact you're realizing that is the very evidence that perhaps God is working in your soul. So we're dead. And we can't do anything about it. As to the desire, perfection in the garden didn't orient itself only to good. Now, I'm getting in deep water here. And some of the preachers may have to figure this one out for me because I can't figure it out. God made man perfect and upright. He didn't make him liable to sin. In other words, he didn't put a propensity in him that he should sin, but neither did he keep him from sinning. And if man in a perfect state, did not keep himself good, what under heaven's shining sun is making you think your will and your determination and your desire is going to be good? It doesn't make good nonsense. We do not have the ability. As to our sinfulness, the person who believes he obtains grace by doing adds to his sin. Okay, we're all sinners, we're all dead in sin, right? So I think in this deadness of sin, that's all I can do. I'm just dead. I'm in sin. And I think I can do something that's going to get me right. If I'm only dead in sin, that's all I am, and I do something that I think is going to make God obligated to do something for me, guess what I'm doing to obligate God? I'm sinning. Did you follow that? All a cat can do is meow, okay? Right. That's right. All a sinner can do is sin. And if we think we have to do something that's going to obligate God to notice us and do good for us, all we can do is sin. All a cat can do is meow. That's all it can do. It's not going to be able to bark. Calling bark good works, or calling bark keeping the law, calling bark whatever you want to call it. Well, you say then, this is a dark world. No, friends. If you'll turn out the lights on yourself, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ will come on. Right. If we'll come to the end and lay all that we are, our good works, our self-righteousness, our sense of feeling good about ourselves, at the foot of the cross, you'll rejoice in the cross. You'll have the blessing. Listen, our blessing is that Jesus Christ said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. It's not of him that willeth. No, it's not. It's not of him that has this great desire. The Lord said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Whose will is it? It's God's will. We're looking at your good works being laid aside, the law being laid aside, your will being laid aside, and just say, you mean he does everything? Uh-huh, that's where I've been heading. He does the whole nine yards, signed, sealed, delivered, and God's children rejoice in it ongoingly. Our need today is to continue to believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our need today to get through life is to be depending today and realizing we need yesterday's blessing in Christ. My ability to look out and realize that I'm no better than anyone else and you're no better than anyone else is to realize I need yesterday's blessing in Christ. It was His will to save me. It wasn't my will to save myself. The Savior said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, even the Savior didn't, but the will of Him that sent me. They came to Christ and said, Art thou Christ? Tell us. And He said to them, If I tell you, you're not going to believe. No, because we don't have the will. We don't have the ability. Now that's the initial work, but I want to close out and put one more clincher on this. And it drives us to yesterday's blessing in Christ. He worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Even if we see it was the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, even if we see that we cannot muster up what we need by keeping the law or keeping good works, even if all of that's true, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring us to the place that we will find out we cannot even serve Him daily except He's working in us. We're even dependent upon Him daily to work out our own salvation. We are. We are shut up to God's blessing us that Christ... Here's what's going to happen. Now listen closely. Here's what happens. We can see what we're supposed to be doing, even following in the doors. We can even see we're saved by grace. And then in our own strength, we begin to try to serve Him, and you can do a lot of things in your own strength. But what happens? The law becomes your standard again, and good works begin to be how you feel good about yourself. If I am to have a good work that's going to be a blessing and a glory to His name, He's going to have to work in me both to will and do of His good pleasure, because it's only a good work. You're only keeping the law to the degree you're doing it out of love for Christ. That's right. If I want to preach a good sermon, so you can say I preached a good sermon, it's filth. Okay? You say, well, I'm a witness so I can feel good about witnessing. It's filth. Unless you're actually doing it because you have such a burden for people because deep within their heart you know they have the same anguish you have and you want them to have the blessings of the truth of Christ. You can not rob banks. You can do all that good stuff in the world. And if you're doing it for the wrong reason so you feel good about yourself, you're not doing it for the love of Christ, it's not a good work. We must have Him working in us, both to will. It's, Lord, I want to do for You. I want to serve You. I want to follow You. I want to praise You. I want to live my life to the end for You, seeing what You've done for me in Christ, seeing what You continue to do for me in saving me, regenerating me, you know, redeeming me, and that love is enveloping you. And you say, God, I'll follow You. Thank God for Jesus.